chapter 12, and I know we've had these verses before, but I want to go through the promise here and what it is, and what it would mean to people from Genesis 12 on, especially from Genesis 12 on. They have to be allied with the nation Israel. Now, and if you will, join with me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time. We ask you, Lord, to be with the business that meets here, that you meet their needs, to keep the doors open. And we thank you for the facility we have here that we can meet in to study your word and to fellowship around it. And Father, we this morning we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, this morning we ask you to lead us by your Spirit, build us up in the faith, and teach us the word of God rightly divided, that we may be a better witness for thee. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to say I appreciate y'all's faithfulness to the class. I enjoy trying to do what I do, and I appreciate you being here. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, begin with me in verse 1. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, unto the Canaanite. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram, saying, "To thy seed will I give this land." And there built he an altar unto the Lord. Now I know that the promise to Abraham was a land grant. You understand? Now, so from Genesis chapter 12, especially, and Abraham, if you'll check in Genesis chapter 14, is called a Hebrew. He's the first person that's called a Hebrew. So God's dealing with Israel. From then on, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's not sent to Gentiles. He raised up 12 apostles and told them in Matthew chapter 10, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles. Any city of Samaritans, enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, the Lord appeared to Saul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him a dispensation. And Paul wrote 6 books to those who first trusted in Christ. Those that were in the synagogue, those that were allied with the God of Israel, they believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God blessed them. He had to bless them. You know why? Because of his promise in Genesis chapter 12, "I will bless them that bless thee." And he's also said, "I will curse them that curse thee." Well, with all of that in mind, let's look at some things here. Go to go to Exodus chapter 1. Go to Exodus chapter 1. You'll see this is very important, especially when you study Paul's epistles. You understand? When Paul said that he was going to go to Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise, they said, "Away with you, it ain't fit that you should live." So this dispensation here that Paul got for these 6 epistles that he wrote to those that are allied with Israel has to cease. It has to come to an end for Paul to go to Gentiles that the Lord told him in Acts 18, I'm going to send you far hence to these Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. And when he told them people that in Acts 22, they said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It ain't fit that you should live. Why? Because God had already promised the seed of Abraham through Abraham and his seed that they would inherit the land, and those that blessed Israel, God would bless. But those that cursed Israel, God would curse. And you can find that all the way through. And I'm going to draw a line right here between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Romans to Philemon, just for clarity, because these people here were under those promises. You understand? They had to bless the seed of Abraham. If they cursed the seed of Abraham, God would curse them. Exodus chapter 1. Go to verse, I think that's where I want to go. Give me just a minute. Go to verse 15. Let's start there. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was whatever you want to call her, the name of the other, Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, now they're in bondage now to Egypt, you understand? Verse 16, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, and if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. You understand? They feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now watch the blessing. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men child alive. And the king of Egypt called unto the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered, or the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. Did God take care of these midwives for blessing Israel? Yeah. They sure did. They feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God blessed them. Now, verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Now, and you know the story of Moses. Moses was sent. Go to 1 Samuel. Let's do it there. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 15, go to verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Abimelech did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Abimelech and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and asses. Beloved, ain't you glad you live in the dispensation of grace? Yes. My Lord, have mercy. It's pretty bad, ain't it? Now, in verse 6, and Saul said to the Canaanites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel. Why is he blessing these Amalekites? Because they blessed the seed of Abraham. You understand? God said to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. Well, here's a bunch of people over here. There ain't no way to get to God through Israel, because Israel's become low Ammonite. So they had cursed the seed of Abraham. And if they hadn't, there still ain't no way to get to God. Why? The covenant promises are over with. The same as when Paul in Acts chapter 9 went to the Jew first. He said so in Acts 26. He said he finished that ministry. Then he went to the Jew and the Gentile, and the Gentiles in the synagogue everywhere Paul went until he became a prisoner. He went to the synagogue of the Jews, and the Gentiles were in there because they feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go to Acts and look at it. Go to Acts 26. In Acts 26, then Paul is giving his defense to King Agrippa, verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strict sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and judge for the hope of the promise made unto God and to our fathers. Well, what is this promise here? Amen. This is the promise of the Savior, right? Well, they in Matthew 26 and John 19, they said his blood be on us and on our children. Crucify him. We'll have no king but Caesar. So they did not bless the seed of Abraham. You understand? So they went right down the tomb and finally became Lo-Amni, not God's people. Why? Because they did not believe the prophets that spoke to them about the coming of the Lord. Now, go back and take Luke chapter 7. Now, let's look at something here. Take Luke 7 and look at verse, let's start in verse 1. Now, we're talking about blessing the seed of Abraham and cursing the seed of Abraham. You understand? So, when Paul's early ministry, which I'm going to say ceased, you know, it's hard to determine exactly where it ceased because of Acts 28. Because in Acts 28, Paul told those Jews, seeing you judge yourselves unworthy in Acts 13 and all and other places, in Acts 22 and Acts 28, he's still going to the Jew and the Gentile. You understand? He's talking in front of a Gentile king, ain't he? Ain't he?
Yeah.
He's a prisoner delivered to Rome. Yeah. Gentiles. You understand? So he's still testifying in Acts 28 to the Jew and the Gentile. But in Acts 22, when Paul told those leaders that he was going to go to these people, then he became a prisoner for us Gentiles. But we didn't know anything about it until after Acts 28. Do you follow me? You got a question? You see, that's why I believe when he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, you can't find that in Acts chapter 9 until you get to Acts 18, and you can see it when the Lord met him in the temple. He's telling them, don't baptize any people. Why? Water baptism has no need for this dispensation that we live in, and it had no need for these here. You understand? But us, we are spiritually baptized the same as these into a body of believers. And beloved, you can't find the body of Christ written down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or in Genesis through Malachi without the knowledge of the Apostle Paul. You can't see that back here without Paul's knowledge, because there's no mention of a body of Jew and Gentile back here and a body of believers that cursed the seed of Abraham. You can't find it back there.
Amen.
Now, you can find their salvation, those who first trusted in Christ, in the Old Testament Scriptures, because Paul took the Old Testament Scriptures in Acts chapter 9 and proved to these people that when Christ died at Calvary, he died for their sins according to the Scriptures. But when he wrote to us after Acts, and I'm going to say after Acts 28, and you can call me whatever you want, I don't care, but after Acts 28, when he wrote these last seven epistles, which the number 7 is completeness. And in Colossians chapter 1, he said he completed the Word of God for you Gentiles. What is that Word of God for us Gentiles? That we are also baptized in the same body that these Jew and Gentile are in back here. He said in Colossians 1:27, this mystery which is Christ in you. What's so different about Christ being in these than it is these here?
Because we were outside the covenant of promise.
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6, beloved, ought to be in your mind that we got in by the gospel. They got in by the covenant of promise through the mystery that when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for their sins. They didn't know that until it was preached to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I laid the foundation. Well, what is the foundation? It's Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
What is that Paul laid? It's called the church, the body of Christ. Well, beloved, it couldn't have been laid before Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. Because Paul's a rebel. And that's why, and I believe why he said, I was as of one born out of due time. You understand? Now, watch what he says in Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings, talking about Jesus Christ now. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered to Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he, this person here, this certain centurion, that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and hath builded us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friend him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my room. But he did what he wanted him to do. You see, he healed his servant just by saying the word. He didn't even go back to the house. He did it by saying the word. Now, did the man bless the seed of Abraham?
Yes.
Did God bless him?
Yes.
Go to Acts chapter 10. Y'all know the story. Cornelius. You see, I had a man call me the other day and wanted to question me about Peter in Acts chapter 11 when he said, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my word should hear the gospel and believe and be saved. Well, what gospel is that? Did Peter preach the gospel of Christ?
No.
Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24, Jesus Christ said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Listen, Paul had not added anything to Peter there.
No.
Are you here?
Acts 15.
Now watch what this happens here in Acts 10 with this man that Peter said in Acts chapter 11, excuse me, chapter 15, that God had made choice among him that he should go to the Gentiles. Now here's the Gentile. And by the way, in Galatians chapter 2, do y'all know when Paul met Peter and James and John, they gave fellowship and right hands to Paul and Barnabas that they should go to the Gentile, and they unto the circumcision, which is a reference to Israel. And after that, you don't hear nothing out of Peter. From Acts 15 on, what do you hear?
Paul
and his crowd. Paul and his ministry. Paul preaching the covenants of promise. He ain't preaching this mystery of the gospel over here yet. And when he got it in Acts 18, he wasn't allowed to speak until Israel came low Ammonite. He said he had a messenger of Satan above him At least he should be exalted above measure. And he sought the Lord three times that it be parted from him, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now watch what happens in Acts 10 verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Well, I know he ain't a Jew. You understand? He's an Italian. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Did he fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Did he bless the people? So God sent Peter to him and preached to him. And what did Peter preach to him? Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word, what word? Fear God and work righteousness. According to the covenant of promise. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. In other words, when John started preaching, what are they preaching? They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm just going to do it like that. Abbreviate it. Gospel of the kingdom. That gospel of the kingdom is being preached. And then and when Paul and Barnabas and Peter now made an agreement, Peter said, we'll go to the circumcision, and y'all go to the Gentiles. And Paul's going to the Gentiles that are in the covenants of promise. Take Exodus chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, Acts chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 6, let's start in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do unto Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. With a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, that's the reference to the fathers, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I remember my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the bondage, under the burdens of the Egyptians, and will rid you out of their bondage, and redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brought you out under the bondage burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Go to Acts chapter 7, let's go to verse 1. I can't break into context. Then said the high priest, are these saying so? When he, verse 2, that's Stephen, said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said to him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. Now I know they were in the land 430 years, but Joseph had favor with Pharaoh for 30 years. And after that Pharaoh died, the next king knew not Joseph, and he put him in hard bondage. In other words, the Bible says he brought rigor on them, and which is a hard bondage. Now, verse 7. Now pay attention to verse 7. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. This verse here is the middle verse in the new so-called New Testament to groups of people. There are 13 words before said God and 13 words after, and God brought Israel into judgment. What did he do? Y'all know what he did? Back there in the Old Testament, when Moses brought the children of Israel out, they came to the Red Sea. Go to Psalms 105. Go to Psalms 105. Let's show it by the book. Psalm 105. And I think we need to go back to Exodus. Give me just a minute. I want to look at the verse in Exodus while y'all go in Psalms. Yeah. All right, in Psalm 105. Oh, good gracious, it's hard to break it into context, but go to verse 6. Psalm 105. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Is he talking to Israel? Mm-hmm. Abraham's seed, he sure is. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Now, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with feathers. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. I expect that to be about 30 years. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, a ruler over all his substance, to bind his princes at the pleasure, and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly, and made them stronger than the enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them, and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of his kings. And you find all these plagues back there in Exodus, back there. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of the kings. Verse 31, he spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their kennels. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, brake their trees and their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came and the caterpillars and the without number. You know, you think after a while that somebody would believe this book. God Almighty said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And these Egyptians cursed the seed of Abraham, and God cursed them. You understand? Now, we're going to get to a situation here in just a minute, and I hope it'll bring some light to you. And we're going to go to Romans 9 in a minute. Somebody remind me to go to Romans 9, because I want to show you something there. Now, verse 35, and did eat up all their herbs, and this is the locusts and the caterpillars, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in the land, and chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. In other words, he brought his people out with great substance. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed. I expect they were. I imagine if some of them folks said, look, King, we got to get rid of this bunch of people. They bringing all this trouble on us. We got to get them out of here. And I expect they said, well, y'all want to borrow all this stuff? God done told them, said, borrow from your neighbors. And I don't know if they ever paid that back or not. Do y'all? I don't never see where they ever got paid back to Egypt. And they came out with millions. Verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran into dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them gave them the land of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Well, it'd be about time for them to praise the Lord, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, look what all they did for them. Now, back here, when Egypt, when they were in bondage to Egypt 400 years, they were in the land 430 years, but they were in bondage for 400 years. And at the end of the 400th year, God sent Moses. He brought them out, and they came to the Red Sea over here, and they went through on dry ground. The Egyptians essayed to do the same thing. They got into the middle of the sea there, and in Exodus chapter, we're going to go to Exodus 15. Let's do it there. Let's go to Exodus 15. Before you go to Exodus 15, let's go to Exodus 13, okay?
Okay.
Exodus 13, verse 17. Let's do this. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and y'all know the story there. Go to chapter 15. You know I'm going to have to apologize again. Let's go to chapter 14 first.
Okay.
You know it's hard to do all this in just 1 hour, but trying to get over here. So in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. Now we read about this a while ago in Psalms 105. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, in other words to Israel, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. That's the Red Sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. Children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Now, verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left. Now, if the Pharaoh tried to do this, and they, y'all know what happened, they drowned it. Go to chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Beloved, when you see capital L-O-R-D, you're talking about the Lord of war. Now, God fought their battles. He drowned Pharaoh. Why? Because Pharaoh had them in bondage for 400 years. And these dark people, these Hamites, they talk about slavery. They don't know nothing about slavery. Y'all know who the Hamites are, don't you? They're descendants of Canaan. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers. Moses. What about Noah? Noah had three sons, didn't he? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Hamites are the black people. They had Israel in bondage for 400 years. And you know, if it wasn't for slavery, back in when it took place years ago, and you don't know a slave today. You don't know anybody today that's ever been a slave. Now, you may know some that work for people, but they were not slaves. There's a difference. They kept slaves for 400 years. And do you know there's a promise in this book right here, over here, after the rapture, after the tribulation, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, it seems to be that they're going to have them for servants again over here. Hamites are servants of servants. That's what their job was. God cursed the seed of Canaan. He couldn't curse Ham back here, but he cursed his seed, which is the seed of Canaan. And in Zechariah chapter 14, I dare you to check it out. There'll be no Canaanite in the house of the Lord. Oh, yeah. No more Canaanite in the house of the Lord. Just by coincidence? I don't think so. Now watch what he says here. You see, the Hamites cursed the seed of Abraham. They went right down the tube. You know why this country's in the shape it's in? They don't believe this book. They don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't believe in the God of creation. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. They're trying to prove right now, I've told y'all, they spent billions of dollars. A nation of people got together, and they're in Chile right now setting up big old telescope things that they can peer into the outer space and find out the origin of the earth. Ain't that ridiculous? Who believes God? You know what they're doing? Putting doubt. Y'all know what the first thing that Satan did in the Garden of Eden? He put a doubt in Eve's mind. Oh, Eve, God didn't really mean the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And oh, Eve, she just added her gravy to it. Well, you know, God said we could eat of all the trees but the tree in the midst of the garden. Now, he didn't say nothing about that tree in the midst of the garden they could eat. Tree of life's in the midst of the garden.
Gossip.
He said, that's right. And Eve said, God said we couldn't eat it. And what? Come on now. Couldn't even touch it. I expect Adam could have hung his hammock in that sucker and slept in it, and it wouldn't have bothered him, as long as he didn't eat of the fruit on there.
That's the way gossip goes. I mean, one person tells it, and he's got to embellish it, and the next one tells it, they got to embellish it a little more, and it just...
And time,
I remember Brother Moore said one time, said it wasn't the act of what Ham did with his father in the tent, but the fact that when he finished, he walked outside and he gossiped about it.
Yeah. Mm. You see, God never, and I ain't telling you all to be a drunk, but Ham got drunk.
Yeah.
You know the first thing he did when he got drunk?
Got naked.
You meant Noah, didn't you?
Do what?
Said Ham, but it was
Noah. Oh, I meant Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did I say, Ham?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that was Noah got drunk, not Ham. Ham was his descendant.
Ham likes to get drunk, yeah.
But do you know why God could not curse Ham?
Because he's already blessed. He was already blessed.
He blessed him.
Yeah.
Already blessed him.
He doesn't do what he's done.
Beloved, you got a group of people over here that got blessed with all spiritual blessings outside the covenants of promise. I can't get in the covenants of promise because they're not active anymore. It's just like me trying to keep the law of Moses. It ain't going to help me if I did. You can be born in it, and I think about my wife and her sister's aunt. Dear woman. As far as I know, she ain't never said a curse word in her life. Never been drunk. I don't know if she ever even dated. Do y'all know if she ever had a boyfriend and dated? Yet, I suspect she's in hell right now. And I hate to say that. A dear, good woman. The only hope that they have that their Aunt Ruth is not in hell is she used to be a Baptist. And maybe she heard the truth. But when she got into the Church of Christ religion, there ain't no hope in the Church of Christ religion. And I don't give a flip who they are, their leader or whoever he is. Martin Luther started it, didn't he? Ain't he the one that... I was a Methodist, wasn't he?
Campbellite,
yeah. Well, they believe that you got to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, keep the commandments and all those things, and that will not save you. The only thing that will save a lost person today is the gospel that was committed to Paul and that Christ died for our sins, even us that were not in the covenants of promise. He died for us according to the mystery of the gospel. That separates Paul's two dispensations, beloved. And when Paul said rightly divide the word of truth, he ain't talking about dividing out Genesis to Malachi, Romans to Philemon is what he's talking about rightly dividing. And if you don't rightly divide Paul's epistles, let me show you what you're going to have a problem with. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and Colossians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Colossians chapter 2. Now listen, beloved, things that are different are not the same. Things that are different are not the same. And there ain't no need in playing games with it. There ain't no need in saying, well, what is this? And what does that mean? I believe it means what it says. You understand? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, you need to go back and study how Paul followed Christ. Because in Paul's earthly ministry, in the book of Acts, he was persecuting Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. And Paul's kind of doubtful about this thing, I can see, in that he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Did Paul persecute the seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Didn't Paul,
when he wrote the book of Galatians, said, if you're Abraham's seed, then are you heirs according to the promise?
Yes.
What is the promise? I'll bless him and bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. Hold the fort. Did the Lord save Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9? Well, was Paul persecuting the seed of Abraham?
Yes.
Sure.
No, he was persecuting.
You know what Paul said later on? He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, call me by his grace. He did not call him by the message that Cornelius was called by. That Peter preached in Acts 10 to Cornelius. He that fears God and worketh righteousness. Paul wasn't working righteousness. Paul was persecuting righteousness. He was persecuting the righteous Savior. But the Lord saved him. I'm as one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Did Paul deliver ordinances to these people?
Yes.
I don't give a flip what the ordinances are. I could care less of what they are. But did he deliver ordinances to these people? It don't matter to me if it's baptism or walking the aisle for Jesus or repenting of your sins or whatever you want to call it. All I want you to see is these people had ordinances delivered to them. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Y'all know the verse. You better know it. Going to have it on the test someday.
Colossians 2.
The Lord say to you one day over in judgment, say to the angel, take this person and cast him into hell. And he'd say, well, wait a minute, Lord. I believe your book. I believe that Jesus Christ died for all my sins. I believe all my sins were taken care of. And the angel say, well, yeah, but you didn't keep the ordinances. Huh? Which ordinances? Well, Paul told you to remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them to you. Yeah, but Lord, you didn't do a lot of them to me. Well, my cousin says he did. A lot of the grace preachers now saying that he delivered ordinances to us. If you make all Gentiles that Paul wrote to in the covenants of promise, you're saying God delivered them ordinances, and you jolly well better keep them or you ain't going to get in.
Amen.
Now then you better find out what they are. Right now I don't give a flip. You know why? They wasn't delivered to me.
Amen.
Look at Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins, uncircumcised your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hold it forward. Let's just say that God delivered ordinances to us, and we didn't keep them. Who are your trespasses against? Against God, ain't they?
Yeah.
Well, has God forgive you all trespasses?
Yes.
Well, now, if you got some ordinances you got to keep and you don't keep them,
you're just being disobedient.
If you trespass them ordinances,
you're just disobedient.
Come on, talk to me. Have you trespassed them ordinances?
No.
Somebody tell me what the ordinances are.
Well, man.
What do you think the ordinances are?
Take up for the.
What about the Lord's Supper?
Yeah.
What about Romans chapter 15, verse 27? These Gentiles that were saved to provoke Israel to jealousy.
Yeah.
Their duty is to take up a collection for them on the first day of the week for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Paul said he did that. Paul said he took up a collection for them and delivered it to them. Do y'all ever take up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem?
Well, Hagee says you need to.
Well, if that's one of the ordinances, have you trespassed him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, is it forgiven?
Absolutely.
Yes.
He forgive you what?
All
trespasses. Watch what he did also. Now, listen, before we read it, I want you to think very clear. Did Paul preach and write to those six groups of people after Christ had died at Calvary?
Yes.
Did he deliver them ordinances?
Yes.
All right, pay very close attention. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way. Did he take it out of the way?
Yes.
What did he do with them? What? Do what?
He nailed them to the cross. Why didn't he tell these people that? You understand now, if you make these Gentiles that heard the gospel and trusted Christ that were not in the covenants of promise, then they were nailed to the cross. What about these here? He delivered them ordinances.
But after that other gospel was they were
destroyed. You do understand that it ain't time to tell that yet?
That
as long as Israel's on the scene, right. Their duty is to minister to the four saints at Jerusalem. Their duty is to keep the Lord's Supper. Their duty is to have all these spiritual blessings, all these spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, all kind of things.
Right. Healing.
Sir?
Physical blessings.
Yes, sir. And what their spiritual blessings are. They are spiritual gifts. They're gifts of the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. When I hold a forward. Are there people speaking in tongues today?
They say they are.
Well, that's true. They say they are. You see, when you study out what tongues are, it's languages. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, you'll find out that they spoke in audible languages. Those 12 Galileans spoke 16 different languages that they didn't even know. These old mossy-back fishermen probably had barnacles on their toes. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Well, do you know what happened in Acts 10 when Peter preached to Cornelius? While they were still preaching, the Holy Spirit came on them and they heard them speak in audible languages and magnify God. Listen, when I see old Hagee and all that bunch that say they can speak in tongues, walking up and down, spitting out some kind of word, I ain't got the foggiest idea what they're saying. And ain't nobody else.
They don't either.
And you see these women up a hooping and a hollering and a jabbering in tongues, God told them, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
It ain't permitted unto them to speak. And I don't know for this to be a fact, but I'm told that the first person that started the Pentecostal church that was started in California was a woman. So much for her. Go to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. What is the tongues for?
Sign.
For a sign. To who?
Israel.
Well, beloved, when Israel became low-down, now there ain't no more signs of wonders being done. Throughout the book of Acts, all the way to Acts 28, Paul's doing signs and wonders for these people. Why? Because the Jew and the Gentile are allied together back here. Now, go to Galatians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians 3 and Ephesians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ as spiritual baptism. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did Paul write to some people that were heirs according to the promise? What was the promise? I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all nations be blessed. Well, beloved, when Paul told them that he was going to go to these people that didn't bless the seed of Abraham, they said, it ain't fit you should live. And I understand their position. Paul's the only one that knew about the mystery of the gospel. These people here knew that Christ would come. They knew when he would come. They knew how he would ride in. I want to say drive in his Cadillac, or come in his Learjet. They knew he'd come in on an ass, the coat, the foal of an ass. They knew their king would ride in that way. But they said, we don't have this man to rule over us. They blessed the seed of Abraham? No. They cursed the seed of Abraham. And when they said in Matthew 12, this man cast out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub, which is the prince of devils, then they had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. No more hope for them.
Amen.
Huh? Is there a hope for them?
Not the ones that
not under their gospel, but when Paul got saved, is there a hope for them?
Yes.
Well, Paul was a blasphemer, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Was there a hope for Paul? He didn't know it, but there is a hope for him. Called the dispensation of the grace of God. Huh? No, no, no. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of God. Romans 1. The gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 through. And over here, those who were not in the covenants of promise, it's called the dispensation of the grace of God that we now live in. We don't live in this dispensation back here that those first six epistles that he wrote to did. We're not in the covenants of promise. And I don't give a flip what the grace preacher says that all Gentiles that Paul went to are the same. They ain't the same.
No.
He delivered ordinances to them. He took them out of the way for us, nailing them to the cross. But nobody knew that until Paul told them that in Acts 22. And when he told them that, he became a prisoner for us Gentiles. A little bit different there. So I believe Paul had two distinct dispensations. This one ceased. This one will not cease until the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. And I believe that's why Paul said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. That ain't my power. I ain't got no power to move my little finger hardly no more. It has to do with the power that works in us. What is that power that works in us?
The Word of God.
It's the Holy Spirit that works in us to bear witness with His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll close. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having without God in the world, and having no hope. Beloved, as long as Israel's around, people had a hope. They could get under the covenants of promise. But when Israel became Lo-Amni, nobody had a hope until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel. That when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for us, and all the ordinances, whatever they are, were nailed to the cross. But they were not made known until Paul wrote the last seven epistles that he wrote. My time's up this morning. Appreciate you being here. The Lord, I hope you have a good year.